You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in the latest episode of the Five on the Floor podcast here on the Five Reasons Sports Network. You can find us on Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more. Also on Dash Radio every single night at 7 p.m. on their Nothing But Net channel. So download Dash Radio and search for Nothing But Net. Also check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel, now close to 12,000 subscribers, where you get our pre- and post-game shows. A lot of us appear over there. And FiveReasonsSports.com with Brady Hawk and others providing the latest on the South Florida teams for free. We do not have a paywall. Also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. So many of them are local, including our friends over at F45 in Cooper City. That's right. This is the one in Cooper City over on Sterling Road. It's not that far from the Hard Rock Casino. I go there. They've got these really, really challenging and fun 45-minute fun and innovative high intensity interval training programs. Basically, there's a guy up there on the screen. You got to follow everything that he does. They give you a couple of breaks, but the thing moves nonstop. You're exhausted after it, but you feel great. We're going to be doing an event over there as well soon. So make sure that you DM me if you're interested. We can get you in there free to try it with the Five Reasons crew. Also, they've got discounts every day for teachers, nurses, military, and first responders, and they don't have contract memberships, so you don't have to deal with what you got to deal with the health clubs, none of that stuff. You just go month to month, and it's as low as $8 per session. So check them out online. It's F45, but the one in Cooper City, that's the one we're recommending, 954-745-4517. That's 954-745-4517. And now, tonight's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5
on the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alex Toledo and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. We've got an interview for you today. We're going to talk to our guy, Scott Agnes. He's been on the podcast before. He's now with Fieldhouse Files, covers the Indiana Pacers. Wanted to bring him on here because he covered the Victor Oladipo era in Indianapolis. And although obviously, you know, all of us are kind of waiting on the exact diagnosis that comes from a specialist and what the decision is made between Oladipo and the Heat in terms of where they go from here for this season and beyond. I want to talk to Scott a little bit about Victor personally and kind of how he's handled injury issues in the past and how that may be playing into now. So Scott, just for some background here, Victor goes to Indiana in that trade with Sabonis for Paul George. At the time, just going back to it, was that a popular trade in Indiana?
Initial thought was no. What do you mean you're trading a perennial all-star and you're not even getting a draft pick with it? You're bringing home Victor. He's a nice player. And in fairness, most fans don't really know what Domas Sabonis is. He's a rookie, and they're not really watching OKC basketball. So I think it was mostly disappointment that draft picks were not included.
Okay, and then he plays much better than expectations. And like you said, you're bringing him home. They knew him from Indiana. Obviously, he had a had tremendous success there. Was the number two pick in the draft. As he started to emerge, though, I mean, was there a surprise inside even the organization that he played as well as he did there?
To an extent, yeah. So first of all, inside the front office, the reason they really liked the deal was they targeted Victor and Domas as two guys that were not being used properly or to maximize their talents, right? And so their belief was that if they acquired them, they could potentially become all-stars. And Domas was more likely, I think, than Victor, quite honestly. Just knowing from his heritage with his father, of course, and the fact that he was still very young and had barely been tapped into too much. And they were both playing alongside Russell for Domas, Steven Adams there. And so Domas is kind of playing out of position along the perimeter. And then for fans, yeah, they were blown away. And early on, the joke was that the Thunder robbed the Pacers. Well, it didn't take a year for it to go the other way. And hey, look, the Pacers gave up Paul George, they had to move on from him and got two all-stars in the process. And now years later, you look at the next part of that deal, which was Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo, and LeVert very well could be on his way to being an all-star. But it was for Victor in Indiana, it was an incredible first year. It could not have gone any better, not only because Ethan, his performance on the floor, but Pacer fans were upset. They felt wronged in that Paul George kind of basically said, you're not good enough for me, and wanted out. And Victor went the other way in the first year and a half, went out of his way. He was the energy, the smile, the guy that I always said hugged the fans back when they needed him at the right time, in addition to what he was able to do on the floor.
Hey, Scott, thanks for joining the show. Greg Sylvander here. You know, I'm really I'm glad that you mentioned the way the fans embraced him, because they felt like he wanted to be there initially. I have a couple of close buddies I've known my entire life that are huge Pacers fans, and they immediately identified that. And it was like a gut check thing that Depot kind of embraced Indiana. And initially, kind of the consensus around Pacer fans from my perspective, and obviously I'm at a bird's eye view, was that he was like tailor-made to be in Indiana. And I actually listened to you on podcast on the Brink a while back, and you talked a lot about the disconnects with the Indy organization between Victor Oladipo and how his people kind of control the narrative, and him seeking surgeons kind of outside of the team's control and rehabbing in Miami, which is obviously just a famous thing that, you know, social media grabs a hold of. I'm just interested to hear from you, like what and where and how did things go south in Indiana for Vic?
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because there is a lot of context to it. It should not just be a tweet that X player is upset or whatever. Those drive me nuts anyway. What it turned out to be, looking back at all this, was after his first year and a half, I want to say, starting in December of, that would have been 2018, I believe, he started to have knee soreness in that right knee. Sat out roughly 10 games. Then came back. And I want to say played, I don't know, probably a dozen games or so. And I remember having a heart-to-heart conversation one-on-one with him in Brooklyn. How are you feeling? What are you up to? Are you comfortable playing again? And he admitted then that the last month had bothered him. Generally speaking, just the knee not being able to play. Then people questioning his intentions and why he sat out and those sorts of things. Anyways, then the injury happens. And that from there on out, things were never the same between Victor and the Pacers. For example, and I have no problem, like you said, with him deciding to go to Miami rehab down there. That's all great and well, especially the first couple months. So many times we see these elite athletes go somewhere for the best of the best, you know, surgeons, whether it's New York and LA. Domas, for example, went to LA out of the bubble, didn't play in the bubble recently, got treatment from a doctor in Los Angeles, from a specialist where his agency is based, and he spends his offseason. In terms of Vic, though, there was little things along the way that were just terribly frustrating, little things that added up. For example, during that first playoff run while he was sidelined, really didn't tweet about the team much. But he made money. He tweeted so much. I can't even count about Hulu Loves Live Sports. So he was making money doing all that, but didn't even do anything. Hey, playoffs are here. Hate missing this time. Good luck to my guys. Mind you, he was still in Miami. And then secondly, both he and he had talked with the Pacers about coming back for at least the home games. It really didn't make sense for him to travel even to Boston. And they were swept in the series. So he tried to make it back for game three. Well, he didn't get to his flight till late in the afternoon because of a weather delay. I think there were storms or rain or something in Miami. And this was like 3 hours before the game. He got on the plane, was on the tarmac, but the flight was canceled. So he missed game three. Ultimately made it back for game four, was there the day before. But I even remember having a conversation about it with Nate McMillan. And he was just frustrated. He was like, look, Victor's not playing right here. We got to focus on the guys on the court. So in some respects, it almost served more as a distraction than it was great for the star player to be back and be supportive around his teammates. Because Victor was really the heartbeat, the soul of the team. I mean, I can't tell you how much life he brought around practice. He was loud. He was the mass singer. He was singing in the locker room. It was rare to have a game night where he didn't have music on and was not singing in the locker room. Well, I never saw that once. Didn't see any music, any real singing after his injury, even when he returned from injury. And to wrap up that story, he came back for game four, was there. His manager was right behind him as they walked the tunnel. He was wearing sunglasses as they walked into their court right during team introductions. So it is, especially the front office, that it felt very much for show more than, hey, we're about to get swept here. We could use a boost, maybe support. You've been around the league. We could really use you. So there's been that disconnect for quite a while. And you could tell, long-winded answer here, but you could tell for more than 2 years, they were bound to go separate ways. Victor had different ideas. He had kind of moved apart from this idea of Indiana really being what he needed. And I think in turn, as we look back at his career in 10 years, this is a huge chapter where he potentially made this wrong decision, because Victor had been traded a couple times. Now he's traded twice in a couple of months, and fit is everything in the league. And so I wonder how he'll look back about his time in Indiana.
Scott, I appreciate this kind of direction that we're going here, because I wanted to get into something that you said here, which is you said Victor's people. And look, all NBA players have people around them. They have their families, they have their trainers, right? But they have people around them. Their business managers, their agents, etc. Their philanthropy chairs. But there are certain players where you hear the word people a lot. Kawhi Leonard is one of those. I know that when the Heat looked into that, you know, a couple of years ago, that one of the concerns was sort of getting in touch with Kawhi's people, a lot of which kind of starts with his uncle. LeBron has people. I got to know a lot of them in Miami. I feel like most in the organization were comfortable with most of them, but at the end, they weren't comfortable with all of them. And we saw how that played out. But I hear that a lot with Vic. I hear about his people, and I've heard from various sources around the league, including other agents, other executives, that perhaps he doesn't always get the best advice. Is that fair to say? And the reason I'm asking the question is we're now facing an injury situation that is murky, right? Like, all of us have reported that the MRI really didn't show anything new, but he's having discomfort. He's got an old injury. And a lot of this comes down to whether or not he can play through the pain. And those are always tough situations, because the team sometimes, in this case, I hear that, you know, Greg and I have both heard the team and Vic are on the same page at this point. But those things can go bad, particularly when a player is an impending free agent and maybe some of those around him want to protect an investment more so than have him out on the court. So can you give any background to that? Is that a real concern in terms of just the folks that he has around him advising him? And secondarily, how do you think that might play into this situation?
Sure, Ethan. Yeah, there's a lot there. First of all, I would argue, if anything, they have not done what they should have done to protect the investment. Meaning, I wrote all the way back in the fall, I go, look, going into this season, there's not going to be an extension. But if I'm Vic, and this is me, what I'm doing is either agreeing, finding an extension that makes the most sense, knowing I'm not getting my full value. But you also don't know many players that have come back from this injury, and don't know of any of them that have come back and had a very successful career, right? I wrote about Charles Barkley and Tony Parker, but you know, Tony Parker had like a year and a half left before he retired, whereas Victor very much felt like he was still if anything, just hitting his prime, you know, a couple years ago at 26 when he got hit with this injury. In terms of those around him, yes, you were dead on. That has been the whole thing from people around the league, from team people with the team, that are you getting the right advice? Are you listening to the right people? His manager, for example, sits courtside at every single game. And you do see that with others. There's a lot of, here's the private jet. Let me show you the photos. Let me be part of this. Hey, I got my security guy trailing behind me as Vic made that entrance, you know, that I alluded to earlier, game four of the postseason. You're in Indiana. Everybody loves you here. You do not need security. It was just a little thing like that that you kind of chuckled about here. So, yeah, he's in a huge predicament. The big picture here with Vic has, for one, I also should mention, by the way, I forget the exact number, but I think he's on his fourth different agent now. Maybe his third different agent. And the belief has been that under his current circumstance, the influence is certainly there more from the manager than the agent. And that was strategically done. And so now moving forward, he's certainly looking for a max contract and to be somewhere where he can win. Well, he could, the Pacers, I think would have gotten, they would have given him more money if they understood that he wanted to be here. But again, all writing was on the wall that he was checked out. You could not only see it, but feel it. And that was the conversations behind the scenes. So it's just been a very difficult year, I think, for the Pacers over this last year trying to navigate it. And the last point I'll mention in all this, Ethan, because you mentioned the people around him, is the fact after he returned from this significant injury, he had his own physical therapist daily with him at the team facility, and not this year, but last year, the PT was traveling to road games, but not with the team. The Pacers did not allow it. So very
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Very often, he was on my flights when we were traveling. I remember distinctly going from, I think, Toronto to New York one game. So that was a difference. Some teams allow it, some don't. I know the Celtics, for example, allow for all family, kids, wives, anybody to be on the plane. Pacers do not do that, and they have a hard stance. Now, this year's a little bit different. The PT got a different job, more full-time in Dallas, so he wasn't with Victor. But that's another behind-the-scenes thing that was happening with Vic, and that was his second physical therapist in a year.
Yeah, Miami actually, they kind of changed their policy midstream with LeBron. The first year, Mike Mancias was not part of the organization. But Mike is so well respected and professional and all that, that the second year he was added as a full-time member of the organization. And obviously he has been with LeBron since. I want to let Alex get in here on some of the basketball stuff as well, because I think some of this backstory is really, really interesting. It plays into kind of where we're going, but ultimately the idea is kind of what kind of a basketball player can Victor Oladipo still be? We'll get back to our episode here in a second. Before we do, though, I want to tell you about another of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And this one is very Miami. Just like us, it's right there in their name. The only thing better than cheering on your Miami Heat or Dolphins or Canes or any of the other teams is doing it with your favorite wings. Miami Grill's got you covered. Bring home a platter of your faves to share for the game tonight, tomorrow night, and all the nights after. Just how you like them. Crispy, grilled, naked, or boneless. Sauce to perfection with one of three new sauces. That's mango habanero, honey garlic, and Nashville hot. If you can't decide, get them all delivered with a catering order. There's more than just the wings, too, of course. They've got cheesesteaks, gyros, burgers, and more. Order online or in person. They do the pickup. They do the drive-thru. They do the dine-in. And they got the delivery available at all locations. Just go to MyMiamiGrill.com. That's MyMiamiGrill.com for more details. Miami Grill, if you're craving it, they're making it. Now back to the episode.
And so, yeah, and what's up, Scott? Alex here.
Hey,
wanted to ask you about that just because, and, you know, you guys went into how what ended up happening with Victor in Indiana, kind of how it ended up happening and what led to that disconnect. And it seemed like for a while there before the injuries, the narrative around the league was that he had found his home there. You know, this is exactly where he should have been. This is where he's turned into a superstar.
That was exactly the case. You're exactly right. And
ever since the injuries happened, it's been kind of the opposite. People have not trusted him. The athleticism wasn't there. And I think you started seeing some of the stuff going in the right direction as far as on the court towards the end of last season. I think even in the bubble, I was making the case to Ethan that even though he didn't look like his old self, like I just thought that he was kind of getting to the basket a little bit more and just looked more athletic in general. And I think this year he took another step there as far as, you know, I'm not sure about on the Pacers, and this is what I wanted to ask you about, but I know on the Rockets, he got his drives up a whole lot. He was driving to the rim a lot more. And even though the efficiency was not there as far as field goal percentage, 3-point field goal percentage, he started having some of that quick first step and that burst. And then now, you know, he had a couple of rough offensive games, the first two games for the Heat. And then the last two games, he put up, I think, 16 and 17 in both, was playing great defense for them. And then, you know, what happened with the lower body injury there. So what would your prognosis be? Not in a medical way, I didn't even mean to do that, but what would your prognosis be on Oladipo's fit with the Heat as far as the type of player that he's at this stage in his career? Obviously, notwithstanding what happens after this injury here, like, do you believe that is a good fit for the Heat? Do you believe that, like, how far away is he from being what he was a couple of years ago? Like, what percentage would you put it at?
Yeah, so ignoring what's happened in the last week, the injury, I think, for one, it's a great fit because he's all in. This is what he wants. He spends his offseason there. He has since 2017. So he loves the place, had some roots there, even opened a partner in a gym down there that he has since gotten out of that. But he's been all in with Miami. And I think, for one, you need that buy-in. Something the Pacers had the first couple of years, but lost it. And you can't just get that so easily. So I like that. Secondly, he's surrounded by shooters, and that's something he didn't necessarily have here. You know, if he's got Duncan or a Hero right there. The other thing is, I don't think he's the number one guy. He's not. And so if Jimmy Butler can be that alpha, right, and Victor can play alongside, that's big time. Because to go back to your point, Alex, yeah, you're exactly right. How he attacks, his quick step, his burst to the lane, either to a layup or to kick out, is him at his best. I remember my first reaction to his first, you know, week or first couple of games back from this injury back in 2020 was that it was there. It was almost nearly there. The biggest concern was that it felt like his mind was ahead of his body. His shot still wasn't great, which is a little bit surprising because that's all he could do for several months and was really focused on it. He's never really been a great 3-point shooter. His best year beyond the arc was, in fact, his first year with the Pacers. That's something he's got to improve upon, I think, to be more of a dominant player in this league, especially as he gets older and those drives aren't as easily available and has that. I would think he's probably no better right now than 85% right now. I was not quick to judge because I saw both what Paul George and Gordon Hayward, two guys with local connections, obviously, here in Indianapolis, went through. And it essentially takes 2 full years from that injury to get back or surpass where you were. We've seen Paul George do it. I think we've seen Gordon do that as well. Of course, he continues to have some bad luck. And so I feel like Vic, once he gets in a stable situation, he's able to get back to most of that at least. Now, one thing he has not done yet is playing back-to-backs, for example. And that was the one thing that we kind of laughed about, because he would never just come out and say it. I knew this was his plan all along, but, you know, the day before the second night or the night, you know, after playing the night before, will you be playing tomorrow? And I can tell you the candidate, we'll see. It just depends on how my body responds. And sure enough, would not play. And that's fine. What's that?
Same thing that happened here. Sorry to interrupt you, but he literally said the same thing in his.
Oh, absolutely. He said the same thing in Houston. I DM'd a couple of the reporters I know down there and sent the line, because it's funny, and Ethan, I'm sure you can relate. After you've covered a guy for 3-4 years, I could tell you Frank Vogel what he's going to say in his pregames. Nate McMillan, Victor, Paul George, you just know their candidness and how they talk and the buzzwords that they lean on a little bit.
We have enough.
Yep, there's so many of them. I mean, 100%. So like we've unpacked so much of this Oladipo stuff, and we've talked about him and the people controlling the narrative around him and handlers almost to a degree, you know what I mean? And
I have one more. Let me interrupt one thing, because I think this is a telling point too, that I did not mention earlier. So when he made his return, he told a national reporter in a sit-down interview before he told the team. Then, before the bubble, he was getting ready to go to camp, went to the same outlet, said he was not going to play in the bubble, and told him before he told Nate or the front office. Then a couple days later, finds out, I think it was Wendy, who came out and shared out, yeah, well, if you don't play, you already went on record saying you are healthy, you're going to miss out on that money. So then he backtracked a little bit, allowed that same outlet to report the story. And so again, that's a further indication of, one, the disconnect, how he went to reporters rather than, in that situation, either Vic could tweet it and say, hey, I'm going to play, or just let the team announce it or go to them. That's why you have a public relations staff to use. He didn't do any of that. And honestly, as simple as it was just a bad look for Victor and for all of them.
I'm glad you actually added that, because it kind of circles back to this, like when LeBron James made certain requests, we'll call them, they were granted because he's LeBron James. And Victor Oladipo, as great as he was for that one season where he, you know, was all NBA and looked great in Indy that first year, he's not LeBron James. And I just feel like the way that we've discussed him on this podcast, it's as if he's operating under the assumption that he has some sort of leverage heading into this summer. And I know that obviously this recent injury may change things to some degree and he's happy being in Miami, but I'm interested to hear your perspective on like, if he's going to head into free agency and he is a player who's now suffered, a couple different injuries and he's been slow to get back, and kind of the whole league knew he wanted to get to Miami, so that kind of hurt Houston's leverage and moving him anywhere else. Like, and now the team, the organization, Miami has his, you know, medical records and is working together with him. Like, does he even have any leverage to ask for a max contract?
This is where I thought it was a brilliant play by the Heat, by Pat Riley in the front office, is they're hands-on with him. They're going to know almost as much info as any other team out there about his medical history and whether it's worth that investment. So even if it costs them a very little, you know, expiring contracts and such, I think this was a smart play for the long term, because they may decide, hey, it's not worth it. Now they don't tie up millions and millions of dollars. This was the gamble Victor made, and we saw it both with this most recent trade with Houston, his value. And also the Pacers looked into it before this season about, hey, is it even, we know his intentions, can we get anything for him before the season? And it turned up there, it just wasn't worth it. So that's why he came to camp. That's why he started the season with the Pacers, because essentially what I was told is Pacers conversations with other teams just did not turn up any value. And so it turned out they needed Vic to go play and give other teams tape. They needed to show what he could do. And it turned out he showed that he could play almost every night, wasn't playing in back-to-backs, but he could be a 20-point-per-game scorer again. And that's why they were able to essentially get Caris LeVert back from him.
All right, we're going to close here with Scott. We appreciate you taking the time here. Again, follow Scott over at Fieldhouse Files. But something else that you said there, I kind of think triggers where I want to go here to put a bow on this thing, which is that, you know, you said, you know, they talked to other teams and there really was no market. We know in Houston, after he apparently turned down a 2-year extension, they talked to other teams and we know there was no market, even though they tried to drum up a market through a certain ESPN prominent national reporter by saying that they were getting offers of mid first round picks plus quality young players, when none of that was actually true. Because if that had been true, the Heat wouldn't have been able to go back to them with 10 minutes left before the trade deadline and say, you'll take Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley and you'll like it, because there's nothing else out there for you. So I'll say this, if we already know that there was no market for him coming out of Indiana, really, until he proved himself to a certain degree, there wasn't much market for him out of Houston, maybe even less. Now he's injured again, the same leg again, you know, as we reported on other outlets, it you know, there may be some differences to this, but there's not really anything new on the MRI. So this is the same kind of injury, scar tissue, all those things that kind of flare up related to it, where now he, you know, may not be able to trust his body again for a little while, and obviously has to get healthy in terms of a pain perspective. I mean, is there any chance, because we've thrown this out on Five on the Floor, that Vic is humbled enough at this stage, not because he doesn't have ability, but because of his health, because of some other things that have happened, that the Heat could actually go to him with a mid-level exception type deal and say, here's 1 year plus a player option.
this thing works out, you opt out of this thing and we take care of you or someone else does. And if it doesn't, this is really the best we can do for you because there's nothing else out there for you.
Man, wouldn't that be tough? I should clarify too, though. I think part of the reason that there wasn't a market was because he was in the contract year and they understood he was very specific in where he wanted to go and his intentions, right? And so it wasn't like just his playing ability. It was the understanding that we're probably going to lose him after this year. So we don't want to give up gobs and gobs for him. Ultimately, I think with Victor, it's going to come down to the best deal. And early on this season, I think it looked like a decent play. Again, I think I would have taken out insurance on myself or something like we often see college players do, because just in case of this injury. But on the other side of that, what we also saw before this season with so many other guys, those stars get locked up with extensions, you know, LeBron, AD, Giannis, a lot of those other competition, Bam getting his extension down with the Heat. And so I think that opened doors and elevated him on the upcoming free agent list. I forget where he could have been. I don't know. Maybe he's 2, 3, 4, 5. Clearly, I think a top five guy, if healthy, on that list. And we all know teams covet this position. It's that athletic wing, ideally if Victor could shoot more as well. And so, yes, he would get paid because of it. Now you got to believe that so many other teams are second guessing and wondering how much they really want to tie up, because they love the player if healthy. But yes, you got to wonder about where he's at, because seeing these reoccurrences, and even back in with Houston, he had a minor flare up as well with another injury. So that would certainly be of concern before I'm willing to, you know, throw in $100 million with him, because you mentioned like a mid-level exception. I just wouldn't see him willing to take that unless that's nearly his best offer. And it would allow him to say, stay with the Heat in his city, that situation, rather than going in, you know, a cold weather city, a losing situation, a place that is not very enticing.
Well, and perhaps too, that if the Heat doctors are able to get him back on track, then he may want to continue that here, which sometimes we see players do. All right, Scott Agnes, we appreciate you taking the time, giving us some insight on Vic. Obviously, we're hopeful that Vic can come back and play this season, but the reality is, as now others have reported, nobody really knows. Thanks again, Scott. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Yeah, that's the most concerning part. There's no clear answer days after. Yep. You just don't see that very often.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.